That God would bless us. We started our Lenten journey last Wednesday with our Ash Wednesday observance. During the season of Lent, we praise God, but we do it in a little bit more restrained manner. So please note the notes in our bulletin with regard to refraining from the hymn of praise, alleluias, and such. We will sing those again and aloud and anew on Easter. A couple of words on our service for this morning. Our opening hymn is number 418. O Lord, throughout these 40 days. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3. That's on page 184 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, during this special season, we ask that you would fix our eyes and our hearts on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Help us to see that by his perfect obedience, we have been set free from sin, death, and the power of the devil. As Christ has overcome, teach us that as we are in Christ, we too shall overcome. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 418.
Setting 3, page 184 in your hymnal, page 184. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This time I invite you to turn to the introit as it's listed in your bulletin. We'll sing it together. God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from 1 Samuel chapter 17. Then David took the staff that was in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read now the gradual appointed for today. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess now our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of life, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. Now I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please remain standing for our hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," number 656.
Thank you.
And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Please be seated. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Who am I? Why am I here? Those questions are very real questions at various points in our life. A lot of them have to do with firsts. First day of school. First day of high school. First day of college. First day of work. First day of marriage. First day of parenthood. First day of retirement. Today, first Sunday in Lent, God lays before us in our gospel reading the account from Matthew of the temptation of our Lord Jesus by Satan in the wilderness, questions about identity and purpose. And these questions are around us all the time, not only on first. Sometimes it's with the last. Last day of school. Last day of work. Last day of marriage. Last day of having kids in the house. Last day of life. Who am I? Why am I here? Who am I? Questions of identity. Where or how do I find my identity? We live in a world where we are taught to find our identity and our purpose. Why am I here? In things that too often we really can't control. We find our identity and our purpose in our work, in our education, in our good looks, in the house that we live in, or the neighborhood where we reside. We find our identity and our purpose by how much stuff we have. We find our identity and our purpose in our marriage, in our family, in our politics. We find our identity and our purpose in all kinds of things, and then when things change at work, when things change in our family, when things change with our stylish good looks or our sleek figure, we begin to doubt and question. What do we question? Who am I? And why am I here? Today, Jesus is tempted by Satan in the wilderness. Familiar story all the way back to our days in Sunday school for many of us. Yes, yes, yes. Jesus is tempted. Jesus doesn't sin. What's the big deal? Too often we fail to see the temptation of Jesus as a question of identity and purpose. It was several weeks ago when we observed, early in our Epiphany season, the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read the last verses of Matthew chapter 3. Jesus is baptized by John in the Jordan River. The Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus in the form of a dove. A voice comes from heaven, not just a voice for Jesus, but it thundered for all to hear. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. God speaks. Jesus is baptized. This one, this Jesus, is the one. He is the Messiah. He is my Son. I am well pleased. God has sent the Son into the world to save sinners from eternal damnation. Jesus' identity and purpose. God in the flesh, Savior of sinners. God speaks. This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. We don't see the connection between the baptism of Jesus and the temptation of Jesus. The very next verse, after God thunders his approval of Jesus' identity and purpose, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Gospel of Mark says, immediately after his baptism, immediately after his baptism, he was flung out into the wilderness. Why? To be tempted. To be tempted. How in the world can Satan tempt the Son of God? What possibly could he do to tempt Jesus to sin? My friends, Jesus is true God and true man at the same time. God's word teaches us that Jesus was tempted in every way, shape, or form that you and I are tempted. Not a bogus temptation, not a fake temptation, not a pretend temptation, but a real temptation. Temptation to what? Temptation to deny his identity and his purpose. Satan comes to Jesus at his weakest. I can't imagine going 4 hours, some days 40 minutes, without food. But Jesus in the wilderness goes 40 days without food or drink. There has never been a human being more hungry or more thirsty than Jesus right here. And that teaches us something about how Satan works, isn't it? Satan comes to us at our weakest. Satan looks for the nicks or the chinks in our armor. He comes to us when we are weak, hoping that we will fall. He comes to Jesus and he says, if. Satan's big word of temptation is if. That word, if, presupposes that there are options to the answer. If the Huskers win 9 games next year, what bowl game do you think they'll go to? If the Huskers beat Iowa this afternoon, will the coach keep his job? Yeah. Identity and purpose. My friends, Satan comes to Jesus with a question that is intended to cause doubt. If you are the Son of God, Satan whispers into Jesus' ear, presupposing maybe you are, maybe you're not. If you are the Son of God, why not just do a little magic? After all, you made these stones. Hocus pocus, make them bread, right? You're hungry. Will God take care of you or not? You better take care of yourself, Jesus. You better feed your hungry belly. Because this God of yours, maybe he doesn't know how hungry you are. Maybe he doesn't care how hungry you are. Maybe there's nothing he can do about it. If you are the Son of God, then you better show it right here and right now. Jesus will have nothing. Nothing to do with Satan's game and Satan's temptation. Jesus answers this temptation and all of the temptations the same way. Not with the same answer, but he answers it the same way. It is written. It is written? Yes, it is written. He appeals for his answer to the Word of God, to the Bible. Jesus knows the Holy Scriptures. Jesus quotes the Holy Scriptures. Jesus knows that there is power in the Word of God. It is written, Jesus says. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Food for the bellies is important, Jesus says. But without food for the soul, without forgiveness, life, and salvation that comes from the Word of God, your food, your possessions, your bank account is meaningless. It is written, is always the answer to Satan's if. If. The second temptation seems kind of wild and crazy to me. Maybe it does to you. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, and set him up on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, notice the if again, throw yourself down. For it is written. And then Satan quotes Scripture. He quotes it out of context. He leaves little bits and pieces out. He twists and shapes the Word of God to suit his purposes. He takes Jesus up to the top of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Let's see all these angels that are supposedly out there. Come on, Jesus. You want to be famous? You want to have your name in lights? I'll call all of the newspapers. You'll be in the headlines tomorrow. Now, Jesus could have said, no thanks, Satan. I'll just take the stairs down. But instead, Jesus will not play his game. Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. My friends, Satan is tempting Jesus to test God with some crazy, wild miracle. Would be as if we would go out and play in the middle of traffic and say, oh, God is there. He'll take care of me. How often don't we put God to the test by what we think or say or do or by the actions that we have? Like Gideon, we put out our own kinds of fleece. We make requirements of God. God, if you really love me, then this will happen or this won't happen. Jesus is being tempted with regard to his identity and his purpose. If you are the Son of God, why not make a name for yourself? Glory apart from the cross and empty tomb. Jesus knows who he is. Jesus knows why he's here. The third temptation is almost crazier than the next one, or the previous one. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And Satan said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. The author of all creation is shown the beauty of creation and said, all these I will give to you. My friends, Satan always promises that which he doesn't own. Satan always promises things he cannot deliver. If you are the Son of God, you will worship. Jesus says no. Worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Be gone, Satan. And then the devil left him. And the text in the Greek, which often is left out of our English translation, says, the devil left him for a while. In other words, he'll be back. My friends, what are we to take from this temptation of Jesus in the wilderness? Well, first of all, Jesus succeeded where our first parents, Adam and Eve, failed. Everything Jesus does, he does for you. Jesus keeps the law of God. Jesus does not fall into temptation. His righteousness is your righteousness. But there's more. There's more. When you were baptized, a giant target was put on your back. It is as if you were flung out into the wilderness. And Satan now has his eyes on you, more specifically, your soul. How does Satan work? If you are a child of God, if you are God's son, God's daughter, why would God let this happen in your life? If you are a child of God, how come you're hungry, you're thirsty? How come your neighbor has more than you? How come you're not happy? If you are a child of God, why are you laboring in obscurity when other people with obviously less talent than you are climbing the road to success? If you are a child of God, why not let God show it? Let God prove it to you and to the whole world. How many movies aren't there out there where somebody makes a deal with the devil. A deal with the devil in exchange for some success or monetary gain. And then what happens in the end? The devil always comes calling. He always wants payment. That payment is you and your soul. My friend, Satan always promises that which is not his to give. Satan always promises things he cannot deliver. God's word teaches us that we are to cling to the very words of God when Satan comes at you, tempting you with that if. Our answer is, it is written. Jesus Christ came into this world not to make me rich and famous, but to take away my sins through his bloody death and glorious resurrection. God has delivered Good Friday and Easter to me in the waters of holy baptism. He has put his name on me. I am his child. I am forgiven. I am redeemed. Whether I am hungry or thirsty or fat and well fed, God's love is on me because he says so. It is written. Whether I have a name that people know or I languish in obscurity, God knows my name. It is written. My friends, today, God's word teaches us that the way we become sure and secure in our faith is to hear the word of God, to read the word of God, to believe the word of God, to worship God in spirit and in truth, the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That means that Christians, baptized children of God who know their identity, washed clean in the waters of holy baptism, and their purpose to receive the gifts of God day in and day out, the baptized people of God go to church. This is where we hear the word and receive the gifts. It matters what church you go to. Not every church preaches Jesus crucified and risen for forgiveness, life, and salvation. Oh, he might drop in once in a while for a visit, but he's not a permanent resident. Beware. Beware. And showing up in church is not a deal where you check mark off the box, God is now happy. No, put your phone away. Listen to the word of God. Hear the word of God. Believe the word of God. You might even want to take a moment or two to go eat a donut and get a glass of juice and spend a little extra time in God's word at Bible study or Sunday school. Take a devotion book home with you. Open it up with your significant other or your family, or even all by yourself. The people of God live in the word of God, because it is life, and life to the full. My friends, maybe you are undergoing severe temptation right now. Maybe things are going pretty well. No. That Jesus has overcome temptation for you. He went to the cross, God in the flesh, bleeding and dying and rising for you, to give you identity and purpose. And if Satan is leaving you alone right now, do not fall into some lack of security, false sense of security, because he'll be back. As long as we live and move and breathe on this side of heaven, Satan will not give up. Oh, he's defeated. Take they our wife, goods, fame, child, or wife, though these all be gone, the victory has been won. The kingdom, God's kingdom, forgiveness, life, and salvation for you is yours today and always. Thanks be to God for his victory. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our identity, and our purpose in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our hard, cold, and stony hearts need to be replaced, and that's God's specialty. We stand and sing our offertory, page 192. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or internet. We pray that the good news of a God who sends Jesus to overcome all things for us would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
This time we continue with the prayer of the church. Please stand. In addition to those prayer requests listed in the bulletin, we also pray for Ray Phillips, father of Matt Phillips, recovering from surgery. We pray for Melissa Jasper, dealing with influenza. And we also rejoice with the families being baptized, as well as at the birth of a new baby to the Gottwald family. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs, responding, Lord, have mercy. For all of those who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, that they would continue to receive the forgiveness, life, and salvation that he delivers to his church, and thus remain clothed in his righteousness and holiness, and that you may bless, O Lord, those who will be baptized today, keeping them forever in your care and in your mercy, and that you may be with all the other babies who are born and will be baptized later this month. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors in Christ, that they would always preach the gospel with a sense of urgency, recognizing that the favorable time and the day of salvation is always now, and for the Lord of harvest to send out more servants, that the gospel would be heard throughout the world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those being tempted to doubt their Christian faith, that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit and find comfort, peace, assurance in the one who overcame Satan's temptations in the wilderness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president, our governor, and all of those who serve us at the federal, state, and local levels of government, that they would serve with integrity and honor and for the benefit of all. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the sick and the shut-in, the hospitalized and the recovering, and all of those currently undergoing trials and tribulations in this vale of tears, especially Ray, Melissa, Laverne, Victor, Lois, Ralph, Pastor Russert, Brian, Pam, Ken, Harlan, Susie, Rinos, the people of Venezuela, and all others whom we name in our hearts. That they would be comforted by and find refuge in the sure and certain promise that nothing can separate them from the love of God, which is theirs through Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who come to the holy altar this day, that they receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, with reverence and awe, and to their abundant blessing, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of those who rejoice in the good gifts that you give, O Lord, including the Gottwald family at the birth of a new child, watch over that child, bring it safely to the waters of baptism, and thank you for all your good gifts with which you bless us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the faithful who have departed this world in faith, let us give thanks to the Lord. And for those who remain in this valley of the shadow of death, that your holy angels would be with us, so that the evil foe may have no power over us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit as one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift up unto God.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right and true.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Please stand as we sing.
Unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with us here.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We continue our Lenten journey to the cross and empty tomb. We have extra services on Wednesdays during Lent, 4 o'clock and 6:30. Fellowship meal in between starting at serving at 5 p.m. Our theme and our focus this year is O Sacred Head, Now Wounded. And we pray that God would richly bless us as we hear his word and receive his gifts. No midweek or confirmation class this coming Wednesday. LPS is on spring break, and we always take that Wednesday off. A lot of people traveling and vacations and such. We have one opportunity for Bible study today. Pastor Moline finished his Summary of Christian Doctrine class, and we can't call it the never-ending Bible study ever again, so he did end it. Not till next time, yes. Yeah. So we continue our look at the book of Romans. We're winding down on Romans chapter 3, and just invite you to stay. Awesome, awesome part of God's Word. Coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall, and I don't see Terry Prince roaming around here, but I think Terry made a bunch of kolaches. Cherry and apricot kolaches, and before Pastor Poppy eats them all. He said he had extras, and if anybody wants to throw a little in the pot and help out our radio, I told him he could do that. So I assume he's back in the fellowship hall doing that. Either he went home to get the kolaches. I don't know. So check that out. We'll have our Sunday school opening in here in about 5 or 6 minutes. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are there. Pastor? Have a great... Oh, yes. Yes. Pictures between services?
Are they still doing... Yes. Then yes, they are. They were trying to be done by Ash Wednesday, and I hadn't heard they were still doing them today, so... Yes, if you have not gotten your picture taken, Pastor Poppy, Vicar Bader, and anyone else, please head back there and do that.
How's that Lenten hymn go? Chief of sinners, though. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, we'll see what we can do. All right. So, get your pictures taken, if at all possible, back in room 106. Since your Bible study is over, you can round up people and herd them back there. Okay. All right. And we've got some Lenten devotionals. They're based on the Ten Commandments. They are especially good. They're in that white box right back there on the shelf. If we could get a couple of elders or ushers to hand those out, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. Have a great day and week. In Jesus.